WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. Protein degradation can target and destroy cancer-causing proteins right inside the cell. It's how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at DanaFarber.org/everywhere.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. An investigative report by Bloomberg News finds a pattern of emergencies by appointment at Mount Sinai Hospital. Specifically, the story says Mount Sinai has made a big push to increase the number of stents it puts in people's arteries, a very profitable procedure. One method of getting paid, suggests the article, doctors advise uninsured patients to show up at the emergency room claiming to have emergency heart symptoms. They then are referred to the cardiology department, which already has an appointment for them to insert a stent. There's a lot more in this article, too, including the possibility that patients who don't need stents at all are being funneled into that risky procedure for the money. Headline, a heart surgery factory with obscene levels of pay, says Bloomberg News. Bloomberg reporter Gary Putka joins me now, one member of the investigative team that reported the story. Hi, Gary. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And your article opens with what you call emergencies by appointment. Tell me, in your words, what you found that deserves that label.
Well, patients would show up at Mount Sinai at in Sunday mornings, and all these patients, that 10 of them that we were able to document, showed up with appointments already at the cath lab, which caused some internal consternation within the hospital about what was going on. Some people complained, and you know, it turned out that the patients did indeed have appointments, and it's caused a great deal of consternation there.
And you cite internal hospital correspondence that cites at least two occasions when patients said they were coached to show up at the ER and claim they were having acute heart symptoms that presumably they were not actually having. Why would a doctor coach a patient to do that?
I can't say in this particular instance why. We couldn't get to the bottom of that. But, you know, we have talked to a number of doctors about this issue in general of sending patients to the ER. And, of course, if you're when it comes to cardiac stents, if you're an emergency, and the most common emergency, practically the only emergency that you would go to the emergency room for and wind up getting a stent would be when you were having a heart attack. These patients were stable patients. They were not having heart attacks. So that the reason might be to get paid by insurance. It might be these patients didn't have insurance, or it might be they wouldn't be covered as stable patients to get this procedure through their policy or not. And New York has a very generous New York Medicaid is a very generous emergency fund for paying for Medicaid patients, as we've learned in other instances that have happened in the city recently.
Why won't Medicaid reimburse as well for non-emergency stents if a cardiologist thinks that's indicated? I mean, maybe that's cheap and stupid, and the doctors and hospital are getting around the cheap and stupid insurance rules.
Well, Medicaid will for stable patients under certain circumstances. There's a whole sort of matrix of what makes the stent appropriate. You know, some of the insurers, and I'm not sure exactly what Medicaid does. Medicare and Medicaid, by the way, pay for a lot of stents in stable patients.
So private insurers are in play here.
Private insurers are in play, but also it's just much easier to justify the stent to insurers broadly if there's an emergency. And there's other procedures that would go on in the cath lab that you might not be able to get covered for if you were not in emergency as well. This would be like an angiogram to see whether you have a stent, to see whether you need a stent, or a number of other procedures that would go on in the cath lab.
So maybe they're gaming the insurance companies.
Yes, maybe.
But to me, the most disturbing part of your article is not the emergency procedures by appointment. It's the part where you hint that patients who may not need stents at all are being funneled to this clinic at Mount Sinai for the money. You write about an arrangement the hospital has with a doctor in Washington Heights. Mount Sinai rents space from Dr. Elisa Guzman of Cardiology Unlimited on West 185th Street. They pay him $24,000 a year rent, you say. And coincidentally, he happens to refer patients to the cardiac catheterization lab at 23 times the average rate of physicians who refer there. Why did you call out this high rate of referrals for stents? What are you implying?
You've done a really good job with describing this. You're stealing all my thunder here. Let me give you a bit of background. Maybe that would be useful. The issue of who does and who doesn't need a stent and whether stents are overused is very, very contentious in cardiology. Plenty of studies show that medicine is just as good in stable patients for stents, medicine and a little bit of lifestyle adjustment. So this is a very controversial issue, and no fewer than 11 hospitals around the country, with maybe four or five more under investigation, prominent hospitals or doctors at prominent hospitals, have been slapped around by the Justice Department and reached settlements over the kinds of arrangements where doctors were allegedly getting payments to refer patients to the labs. And in many of these cases, the Justice Department has alleged these people did not need the stents. This was purely done for purposes of making money. So New York City, as it happens, is a market that has a much higher usage of stents than the rest of the country. All five boroughs are above average in the number of stents per Medicare patients. All five boroughs are above average in the number of stents given for every scan of a heart. So there's a lot of indication that stents are overused in New York, and there's also a lot of indication that as you've recounted here with Dr. Guzman, that that people who have who Sinai has sort of recruited for office use are sending tons of patients to Mount Sinai.
Should we assume that if there is one clinic feeding to the business or the busiest stent lab in the city with apparent financial incentives, that others are too? Because your other sources say they're combing the streets in all the boroughs for potential stent patients. I'm trying to connect the dots.
Yeah, well, we found evidence of at least seven doctors or practices that who refer to Sinai in large numbers who also have financial arrangements with Mount Sinai. Now, I should say here, in fairness to the hospital, that they say they don't pay for referrals. They wouldn't go much beyond this to discuss the terms of these arrangements with the doctors. But seven doctors or practices that seven doctors or practices who have financial arrangements with Sinai in 1 year of documents that we saw referred patients at 20 times the rate of the average doctor who refers to Sinai.
And you have this quote from the head of interventional cardiology at SUNY Downstate Hospital in Brooklyn, who says, quote, "You essentially have physicians combing the streets of Staten Island, Queens, Brooklyn, and the Bronx, looking for patients they can screen on a treadmill to feed into the cath lab where the big reimbursement comes," unquote. So is he talking about Mount Sinai in particular or the state of the hospital business generally?
I think there he's talking about the state of the hospital business in New York generally, where when we checked, there are no fewer than 32 hospitals certified to have cath labs that insert stents. I don't think all 32 of those are necessarily practicing. We certainly couldn't find them, but we're told it's a very, very competitive market.
Do the numbers raise a question about whether some of these affiliated cardiology centers, I guess you'd say, or doctors, are sending patients for invasive procedures who don't need them?
I think it raises the question. It can't be said for certain, and we did not, we have not found evidence of that. So let me be clear about that. However, it certainly raises a question. The high stent usage in New York, Mount Sinai is the largest, is the most frequent inserter of stents. Does about 5,000 a year of any hospital, not just in the city but in the country. It claims to be the best and busiest. Both the city and the state, and it also claims to be the best and busiest in the country. So,
quote one expert who says that many stents couldn't all be appropriate.
Yes, we do, which, and it's well, Sinai would, you know, even Sinai would acknowledge that there is a there is a way of measuring whether stents are appropriate or inappropriate. It comes in the form of guidance from the cardiology associations about what's appropriate. So Sinai says its level of inappropriate stent use, as it's called in the guidelines, is among the lowest in the country at about 4%. But there's also a huge number of uncertain stents of uncertain appropriateness, as Sinai itself rates them, that they do.
And you're right that the cath lab, that's the cardiac catheterization lab where the stents are inserted, the cath lab extols its volume. And the lab's compensation system for doctors incentivizes more procedures. That's an intriguing sentence. They extol their volume. They boast about how many stents they put in people?
Yes, the cath lab report is full of references to how much the cath lab has grown, how many more procedures they do than their local competition. And as you pointed out, there is a system for paying doctors there that rewards more procedures where if you don't make a certain level of what they call relative value units in the medical trade, which each procedure has its has a relative value unit associated with it. You necessarily won't make your full salary, or you might have your bonus cut.
So this sounds like the quota system for cops who aren't giving out enough tickets or doing enough stops and frisks in the course of a month. You're telling me that cardiologists working for Mount Sinai Hospital might get their pay reduced if they don't refer enough patients for stents?
So the documents at Mount Sinai that we've seen indicate.
You got quite a story here.
Thank you.
How long did it take you and your colleagues at Bloomberg News to do this investigation?
Some months. We were all doing things in between other stories. It took us a while to gather information on this. This grew out of other stories we've been doing about the state of stenting in the United States over the last year.
How profitable is a stent for the hospital? You refer to it as one of the most profitable things that hospitals do today.
Medicare data show that at Sinai, there's a 42% profit margin for stents. So roughly speaking, the numbers are your insurer is going to wind up paying $20,000 to the hospital. This does not include the doctor's fee. The hospital would get $20,000 and after costs be left with about $9,000.
What do you hope will come of your article?
We hope to hear from more people about more things that may be going wrong here. Hopefully, to the extent that Sinai, anything is wrong within Sinai, maybe something will be done about it.
We got a very general statement from Mount Sinai Hospital when we informed them that we would be having you on today, just basically defending everything they do as proper and appropriate. Have they been forthcoming with you?
As I indicated before, they've chosen not to discuss the particular terms of the doctors whom they have financial arrangements with. They have not fully addressed the issue of the documents we have that show that patients had previous appointments and came to the emergency. Patients had previous appointments at the cath lab. So I would say they've answered about as generally as they've answered you. Things are proper. They have not gone into a lot of detail with us.
Bloomberg News reporter Gary Putka, part of the investigative team that reported the story about stents and Mount Sinai Hospital. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, how is the city's composting experiment working out? This could go citywide, so we'll talk to the sanitation department official in charge, and we'll take calls from some of you now separating your food scraps and other brown bin items. The smell, the rats, the much lower amount of unrecycled waste. Stay with us.